This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
David Allen here with you and for Paul J. today in the Next Title studio. Chris Walton here. Bob Beeler joins us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Getting down to the nitty-gritty in the spring sports. One of the sports that's still going, playing strong, is softball. Cindy Ball, the head coach, joins us from Ogden, Utah. The team closed the regular season with a 3-game sweep of New Mexico to get their 30th win of the season. Cindy, you're in the NIT for softball. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're very excited about it.
Well, why don't you tell us a little about this tournament? I had not heard of it before. Is it new? And what were the thoughts of the players when you guys got the invitation to play?
Yeah, it's the inaugural year for the tournament and something that they're trying to get going because a lot of good teams get left at home. And the girls were ecstatic. You know, this is our first time in postseason for the program. So It's a fun feeling, and they're ecstatic and also focused.
Cindy, let me ask you, as a UNM grad, I'm very bitter that you swept the Lobos, but I'm extremely excited that you guys won 30 games. Tell me in a little bit how the whole season encapsulated, how magical it was for you.
Yeah, it all started, and I think I said this before, it all started in the beginning of the year. They committed to start creating a winning tradition in all things. So in the classroom, in the community, in the weight room, in practice, and then in games. And, you know, we went through a week or two there with a few little bumps, but they've been very consistent throughout the year. And it's definitely a credit to our pitching, solid defense, and timely hitting.
Now, Coach, this is a double elimination tournament, so assuming you beat Weber State, they're not out yet, are they?
They are not. That's what makes postseason so much fun, is anyone can win at any time.
Cindy, do you play postseason games differently? As Chris mentioned, it's a double elimination regional. There are 4 teams in it, Boise State, Weber State today at 4, and Utah State against University of San Diego. That'll be the game that starts at 1. Is there a different feel to the tournament than when you're playing, say, a series like last weekend at New Mexico?
I mean, the game is still the same. I think that during postseason, you'll just see some, you know, different people rise at different times, and usually everyone's very focused and energetic, so you're not going to catch people on their heels as much as you would maybe during a regular season. But we're going to still continue to play our game, you know, one pitch at a time like we do.
Coach, I don't want you to give anything away because I'm sure everyone from Weber State's listening right now, but if you were just give a couple of highlights, what are their strengths and weaknesses that you're going to try to take advantage of today?
Well, they're a solid team. They have 2 strong pitchers that we faced, both of them this year, and they can hit and run. So they don't have a ton of like home run power, but they will run. They have almost 100 stolen bases, so that puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and we're ready for that.
Now, I know you don't like to look past the first game, but you probably know a lot about Utah State. How about San Diego?
We played them last year, so we haven't played them this year. But it's a solid tournament all the way through, so it's going to be fun.
Now, are you planning to start Christina Washington? We visited with her a couple of weeks ago. A lot of times you've used her in the first game. Is she the pitcher you're planning to use today?
Well, you know what? Most likely, yes, but we still haven't made that final decision yet.
What makes a decision when you're looking at it? The lineup? I know you use different pitchers, different games, but what goes into deciding who you're going to throw in which game?
Sometimes it's matchups. You know, sometimes people get on a hot streak, and so it's a little combination of those two. Christina's been consistent in our rock throughout the entire year and a huge reason why we're sitting where we are. So we will use her and ride her as long as she can go, but we do have an entire pitching staff that's very strong and can come in and get outs as well.
Okay, this takes place in Ogden at Weber State today, tomorrow, and Thursday. When you guys win this, what's the next level?
Well, the next level, we play. It's a championship round, so it's a two round postseason, and that would be the 21st to the 24th. Location to be determined.
Cindy, best of luck today. Thank you for your time this morning. We'll all be rooting for you guys. It's really been a great, magical season, and we've enjoyed following along and having you on Bronco Tuesday a few times and to talk about the success of the program. You've done a fantastic job this year.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. Cindy Ball, softball coach. They play Weber State today, and I'm looking for a win. Mm-hmm. 844, we'll talk golf next on Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Bob, David, and Chris back here, and joining us on the phone from Palo Alto, California, is Dan Potter, Boise State's men's golf coach. And, Dan, it has been a great season. You've got an individual golfer, Brian Humphreys, freshman, Mountain West champ, down at the regionals at Stanford. Been a good year so far, coach.
Yeah, for sure. It has. It's been a lot of fun to be here with Brian, and we did have a good year. Had some young guys, and they worked hard and did a good job for us. So
now, a tougher round for him yesterday. I mean, he's been under par on a regular basis, over par yesterday. What kinds of things can you work with him on today to have a little better round?
You know, he made a few mistakes that are a little bit uncharacteristic yesterday. We spent some time after the round yesterday just kind of hitting some iron shots and working on you know, really his wedges. He wasn't as sharp as he normally is with his wedge shots. And you're at a golf course and kind of a setup that demands precision. And he's certainly capable of it. He also didn't make any putts yesterday, which is normally one of his strengths. So those kinds of days are going to happen. They just add up a little quicker on a championship caliber setup like we had. And we got a little wind in the afternoon. So a good one today would get him right back kind of in the mix where he needs to be. But yeah, he needs a couple good ones going forward.
Coach, I'm not going to be critical because I can promise you 77 is usually what I shoot on the front nine. But does it become a thing where obviously he's used to playing in big tournaments and playing big courses, but does it come into a play that he is a freshman and it's a little bit of a mental game with him yesterday rather than a physical?
No, not really. He, like you said, he's been in big tournaments before, and you know, he was a freshman when he went into the last round of the conference championship with a one-shot lead, and that's a tough spot. And this is, you know, it would take exceptional golf for him to advance to nationals. There's just one player from a team that's not advancing on to the NC2A championship, and he knows that. So I don't think there was any added pressure. Obviously, it's a great atmosphere to be in. You're alongside great teams. You're at a course that's got a lot of history, and Stanford, it's a cool place to play and compete. And so I think he, you know, appreciated where he was at, but I don't think the moment was too big. It's just, you know, golf's a fickle game, and you're going to have some days where everything kind of seems easy, and some days where it's just, you're not firing on all cylinders, and a little bit of that just caught up to him yesterday.
Coach, when Brian's out there, how much are you allowed to do?
You know, so this is a unique one for me because it's just T and I, and so I'm allowed to. And yesterday it would be like if you're watching a player caddy on television. Only I'm not allowed to carry his club. So we talk over every shot and kind of read putts together, and we do that from time to time throughout the year. But typically there's four other of his teammates that are out playing, so I'll kind of myself and an assistant coach will bounce around the five. Sometimes you'll walk with one and do all of that same stuff all day long. Sometimes you'll bounce around, and there might be one or two guys that you hardly see all day. But yesterday, yeah, it's he and I. You know, his coach didn't help him read any putts correctly yesterday, really, I could tell you that, unfortunately.
Dan Potter joining us, men's golf coach at Boise State. He goes on after this tournament in June, going to play in the U.S. Open Sectionals up in Washington. It's been a great year for him. What will he need to do, and is it possible for him to get out of that sectional?
Oh, absolutely. He'll need to play great. You know, you go to the sectional, and there's All of a sudden there's some PGA Tour guys and Web.com Tour players that they're needed to qualify to get into the U.S. Open. And so the competition definitely gets stiffer, the number of spots available are fewer. But like you said, he shoots under par regularly, and that adds up. I mean, it's he's got to go play good golf, which he's very capable of. But he's played the course before. He'll play the sectional at Tacoma Country Club. He shot a 68 or 69 there in the final round of the Washington State Amateur late last summer, and it's a good golf course that will definitely identify who plays the best over those 36 holes. And when he gets his putter going, he can hang with anybody. So,
Coach, how big are these tournaments? You know, winning the Mountain West tournament and playing down there in Stanford for Brian, building into next year back at Boise State.
Oh, I think it's huge for next year, for him, but also for, you know, the other guys on the team. There's 10 teams down here, and next year we want to be down here with five guys playing for a chance to go on to the national championships. So for our for Brian to get this experience and see what it's all about, for when he hopefully comes back, and his teammates to see that that he's here and representing Boise State, and they want the worst way to be here alongside him next year at this time. So so this is great, and this is what he envisioned when he signed up to play college golf, and so it's fun to be here and get a taste of it, but certainly wants to be back next year with some teammates.
Well, Coach Brian tees off at about 11:20 Mountain Time this morning. Good luck to you, both you guys, and shoot them straight and play much better than either Bob, Chris, or I could play.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks
guarantee
for
the second part.
All right, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. 8:52 now at 670 KBOI.
Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
8:54, Bronco Tuesday, David, Chris, and Bob Beeler. Track and field, some good awards yesterday presented by the Mountain West.
Yeah, they had 16 all-conference winners, 9 different athletes had awards. Some of them, of course, got multiple awards. Got a good shot to get quite a few into the NCAA regional meet that's coming up in Austin, Texas. That'll be in a couple of weeks. Sadie Henderson, who we interviewed last Tuesday, she won the 800 in the Mountain West. She's probably going to go. Allie Ostrander is probably qualified in 4 different events. She won't run 4. She'll probably pick a couple. So a great job by track and field. They're probably going to have 10 or so going on to Texas for the regionals.
I was telling Chris the other day, Allie ran that 10,000 meters in 35. And I said, when I used to do a 5K, the best I ever did was 25 minutes. And she ran another 5K in 10 minutes, basically.
She's good.
She's really good. Exactly. Yeah, she's really, really good. And she's still, and I don't say this in a demeaning way, she's still so young and can get that much better by growing.
Well, and listen to these events that she's qualified for. 1,500, which is basically a mile. That's more or less of a sprint now. 5K, 10K, and one of the events that I think is grueling is the steeplechase.
I can't even imagine doing that steeplechase. A couple years ago, the New Mexico runner won and ended up qualifying, I think, for the Olympics. But I can't even imagine having to jump over barriers, land in water. You got people jostling you and everything. She's an amazing, amazing runner. For anybody who even runs on the weekend, to see her run is simply incredible.
And on the men's side, Bruce Kirby, he won the 100 meters, so he's got a good shot of going on. So congratulations to him. And Yusuke Ushikoshi won the steeplechase on the men's side. Of course, as you mentioned, Allie Ostrander in the 10,000.
Yeah, just crazy. Also, next Wednesday, we have Select a Seat for football.
And that'll take place from 4 to 6
at
the stadium. Best thing about it, you can go in, actually see the seat you're going to buy, sit in it, get yourself a feel for it. I always think that's huge as opposed to just looking at something on a schematic.
I also read today where you were able to kick a field goal. The blue will be open. They're going to let you try to kick a field goal if you want to.
That's the key word, try.
Try. Chris and I both agreed that we'd be killing nothing but worms on that blue field. Thanks, Bob, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Bronco Tuesday. Chris and I will come back to talk about, I don't know, all things Trump.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality. This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. this week. Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D in his bad back, pushing all the buttons. All right.
Did I tell you my wife has stopped watching reality TV?
Well, actually, she watches the best reality TV.
She does now.
Yeah.
But she used to watch all those, you know, housewives of whatever shows.
Whatever city they were in, yeah.
And, you know, various other things. And I don't know. I mean, there was a point last summer where we watched a show about how they make the reality TV shows and how they're anything but reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like if you have a couple of women sitting there having lunch together, you got to realize there's a whole camera crew standing right there next to them.
Exactly.
And there's nobody else even close to them in a restaurant.
Yep.
So that's not really so much reality as it is just a show. But she stopped watching this because basically anything that's on the news lately is so much more interesting.
Mm-hmm. President Trump pushed back on an explosive story. This is from ABC News this morning in a Washington Post that he shared classified information with members of the Russian government during a meeting last week, arguing on Twitter that he had, quote, an absolute right and engaged in the discussions for, quote, humanitarian reasons.
This is what Senator Risch from Idaho said yesterday, and he was quoted on several of the national news programs. He said that as the president of the United States, he does have the right to declassify something, basically, you know, at will.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, he's the ultimate authority in that. So if he tells the Russians something, then I guess they just know it. Now, Joe Scarborough this morning on MSNBC, who is a lifelong Republican, but lately has been extremely critical of everything that's going on with the Republican Party, said, and part of that might have to do with the fact that he's now engaged to Mika. But
yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. It might have something to do with who he's sleeping with.
He said this morning that about 15 years or so ago that we told the Russians about three of our secret places where we had things going on in the Middle East and various, and ultimately they ended up bombing all three of them. Now, I don't know the exact details on that, but that part sounds bad.
Trump did not characterize the information as classified, but rather, quote, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline safety.
Mm-hmm.
The White House called the Washington Post story false. As president, I wanted to share with Russia in an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety.
Yeah, I don't know that he committed any crimes or anything like that. But there are people who are saying, well, that's just a really bad idea to, you know, have a whole room full of Russians and not even invite the U.S. press in or something like that. But McMaster's was in there and he said, no, it was fine. And he is the national security advisor, so he's in a position where he's supposed to know.
And while you and I grew up under the
Cold War
in the 70s, and it was better dead than red and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Yeah, we used to have memos that would come out when we were in grade school about where to go if a bomb goes off.
Yep. While I'll always have that wariness about Russia,
mm-hmm.
and especially because Vladimir Putin is a KGB guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's a little bit of that.
So, well, yeah, and you have to assume that there are Russians and there are Soviets, and he's one of the Soviets.
Yes, exactly, yeah. I think there's one country who wants to help us destroy ISIS as badly as we want to destroy ISIS.
And that's Russia.
And that's Russia.
Okay.
And so I don't want any secrets. I'm using air quotes. I don't want any secrets given away. I don't. I really don't. But if sharing, hey, ISIS is thinking of using laptops and smartphones as bombs when they get mm-hmm. on planes with Russia, isn't that a good thing? Because they're not really our ally, but if they're helping us defeat ISIS,
then they are.
Then they are our ally.
Well, and it's like we've always said. People say, you know, at one point we're chastising Russia for being in Afghanistan.
Sure.
Being in Afghanistan. The next thing you know, we're in Afghanistan,
yeah.
And then we help fund somebody to overthrow a government, and it turns out their government's worse than the previous one. So suddenly we're at war with them, and this has been going on for a long time.
Sure.
All over because you do. I mean, it's politics, and things change. The status of certain nations changes. I don't know. With Russia, I mean, Russia is an important country. It's a superpower.
Sure.
Like the United States, like China. And I don't know. It's kind of a fine line. Like, what do you want to share with them, and what do you want to do yourself? And yeah, I suppose if they end up getting Assad out of Syria, you know, which hasn't exactly been their number one priority, that it might be worth it.
Exactly. And if they help us defeat ISIS, it might be worth it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I wasn't in that meeting, obviously. The Washington Post, they say they found out from somebody in the know, and it might even have been a Russian, you never know,
maybe,
who said that here's what was discussed, and they said this is completely wrong. And then the National Security Advisor comes on last night and says, no, that is not what happened, that is not the case. And the president, essentially this morning, indicated on Twitter that he did share information with them, but it was not information that would be considered illegal by any means.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Does this become something, like one of our listeners said today, a much ado about nothing, and it's just the press looking for ways to get under Donald Trump's skin and get him out of the presidency?
And again, it kind of depends. It kind of depends upon, you know, who's giving the commentary. Like I said, the funniest thing for me to do every day is to watch about an hour of Fox and then watch an hour of MSNBC and then go back and watch another hour of Fox, then another hour of MSNBC or a half hour or something, and just find out that essentially the same story is being reported in completely different ways. You know, because between those two stations, I mean, between those two networks, there is never going to be a consensus about what's going on and whose fault it is or whose fault it's not.
I think McMaster's is going to speak at 9:30 our time.
Again?
Yes. I think I just saw that on MSNBC.
I'm guessing this will just be, he'll have collected all his thoughts from last night and be saying the same thing, that this is not a security issue here. This is just an issue of it's world security.
Well, we want to know what you think. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's 9:13. David and Chris on 670 KBOI. We'll talk to you next.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
9:19 at 670 KBOI. What are you guys doing on Friday, August 4th?
You know, I don't have the slightest idea.
I do now. The fourth annual Jackson's Country Stomp is coming.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater, Friday, August 4th. Listen to this lineup. Jake Owen, Cassidy Pope, Neil McCoy. Tickets are on sale now at all Jackson's food stores. Get a $5 discount with a qualifying purchase. Be part of the biggest country concert of the summer, the fourth annual Jackson's Country Stomp.
I got a couple of short instant messages here. Mark in Meridian says he has the right but apparently doesn't have the judgment. He just created more distrust among our allies.
Let me give the rewards code real quick first. I'm sorry. I apologize that. The KBOI rewards code is Intel, I-N-T-E-L. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword Intel, and get your 5,000 rewards points. Continue, please, sir.
And let's see. The other one is from Mike of CUNA. He says, Rich calling in and acting like he was in the Oval Office and heard exactly what President Trump said in 3, 2. Okay, Rich hasn't even called in yet, so I think before you criticize him, you might want to at least wait till he calls in and says something.
Let's go to the phones. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI.
You are kidding. Hey, Rich.
Okay, well, I mean, it sounds to me like you guys have completely missed the story. It wasn't our intelligence that Trump gave up. It was intelligence of a foreign operation that they gave us and we weren't supposed to share. So now we have a president that foreign intelligence operations can't trust with information. Mm-hmm. Our own intelligence services can't trust him with information. That's the problem. He had a legal right to do it. Yeah, we don't know what information was giving out, but it was about an operation and intelligence operatives in a foreign country run by somebody else.
Okay, this is let me bring everybody up to speed, Rich. This is from ABCnews.com again. According to the Washington Post, as you said, the nature of the information was related to an Islamic State terrorist threat and gathered by a United States intelligence partner. The report notes that Trump disclosed the information to the Russian foreign minister and the Russian ambassador to the U.S. last Wednesday, despite Russia not being a member of the intelligence sharing agreement from which the information originated. As president, Trump possesses the legal power to declassify information, but officials worry that reported disclosures to the Russians could jeopardize this intelligence sharing operation. So even ABC News is saying he can still disclose that information, even if it came from a partner of the United States.
Oh, I didn't say he couldn't. You're missing the whole point. Yeah, he has a legal right to do it. I mean, he has a legal right to have sex with him with a goat, but you don't want to have pictures.
Don't have a legal right to have sex with a goat, Rich. So well, I'm going to dispute that right now.
I didn't say he didn't have the right to run off at his mouth. I'm saying I don't think he understood what he was doing, or he can't be trusted. That's the problem. Yeah, he has a right to do it. He could give away all of our national secrets if he wanted to, and by law he can't be punished. But is it appropriate? Does it show very much judgment on his part? Is he in control of what he says? That's the problem.
Hmm. All right, Rich. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate
the call.
I still say if he just gave information about ISIS, and Russia is going to help us, and we're going to help Russia defeat ISIS. What does it matter?
By the way, I checked with Al Jazeera, and you were right about that, not him.
See, I knew it.
Boise Rabble Rouser says, well, yesterday after the White House sent the storm troops led by McMaster out to deny the presidential sharing of sensitive classified information with a longtime adversary, Trump today admits he shared facts, not indicating classification. My question, is Trump a useful fool for the Russians? The question isn't his authority to divulge classified information. The question is, does it hurt U.S. security? And in this case, it does, by chilling relations with our allies and their intelligence operations that were supposedly close held. We owe an award to the White House insider who leaked to the Washington Post, a modern deep throat award.
Here's NSA McMaster. This is his quote. The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. Mm-hmm. As you know, ISIS has brought down a Russian airliner. Remember that when it crashed in Egypt? They 200
well, the, I know
people.
They're, I know they're the ones who took credit.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Okay. At no time were intelligence sources or methods discussed, and the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known. I was in the room. It didn't happen. Now, I wasn't in the room either. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you're that definitive, like McMaster was, you've painted yourself in a great big corner.
Yeah.
And if you say it didn't happen, I was in the room, and then it comes out that it did happen, holy cow. That's a bad look, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Wendy in Meridian has written in to say, better to tell the Russians everything than to tell the press anything. That's dangerously un-American, but yeah. I understand your point.
There's a part of me that maybe trusts the Russians sometimes more than the press.
There's a reason that we have freedom of the press in this country. It's so that any move we make can be very much examined by, you know, people who aren't necessarily in the inner circle. Because when you have moves that are not examined by people outside the inner circle, you essentially have a dictatorship.
Now, neither
or an oligarchy or something of that.
Now, neither McMaster's nor Dina Powell, who's the deputy national security advisor, addressed the allegation that the president revealed classified information or the possibility that he may have jeopardized an intelligence sharing operation. All they were saying was,
well,
nothing he shouldn't have shared was shared.
And part of it, somebody said it to me this way yesterday, that what they are worried about is that this information was, and it would be easy to find out who got this information from ISIS and therefore compromise whoever we've got, you know, in there who's maybe infiltrating ISIS.
Sure.
Bob says, and Rich is going by info from the Washington Compost. Well, I don't know. They've won a lot of Pulitzers, but
that's what we got.
You know,
right now,
it's like, you know, in Washington, they have the Washington Post and they have the Washington Times, and they're a lot like MSNBC and Fox in that they will never have the same story from the same angle.
Exactly. All right. John and Meridian, hang on for me. I only got like 20 seconds here, and I don't want to get you on and only give you 20 seconds or hold you through. So hang on for me, John. We'll get you. We got news with Rick Worthington coming up next. Then Chris and I will be back to talk more about this. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
936. This week, we're doing a little bit different sweet deal, so you'll want to pay attention. It's the St. Mark's Catholic School. At St. Mark's, young minds are expanded, faith is built, and lives are enriched. Friday morning at 9 a.m., go to KBOI.com, look for the Sweet Deals link, and purchase a complete tuition for one school year at St. Mark's for half price. That's a savings of over $2,600. This applies to the 2017-2018 school year for K through 7th grade. Some restrictions obviously apply, but if you're thinking of sending your kid to St. Mark's, here's a chance to get half price tuition for the year. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Friday morning at 9, go to KBOI.com, click on that, and take advantage of it.
You make a very good point.
All right.
You know, and the interesting thing is normally on our sweet deals, which are always fantastic, you usually end up saving about $25.
Exactly.
And on this one, you save?
$2,600. All right. As promised, John and Meridian, thank you for holding on, my friend. How can I help you this morning? All of a sudden, I'm working at a restaurant. How can I help you today? John, how are you, sir?
I would like a cheeseburger.
Good morning. Well, can't help you there. Sorry. Yeah. I can give you a lot of liquid sunshine if you want it, though.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
Said sun. I thought you said moon. Sorry.
liquid sunshine. I'll have it delivered.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just responding to Rich. I find it kind of ironic and or erotic. No, ironic and or hypocritical that he would question President Trump's decision-making process of, how to use our intelligence information when he himself has, you know, sketchy ideas about bestiality. I was, can't really take him through.
Like I said, I checked with Al Jazeera, and you can't actually do that.
Check your farm animals, everybody. Have a good day.
All right, John, thanks for holding on. Yeah, I might not know a lot about the law, but yeah, you really, really can't do that with a goat.
Mike R. of Boise, not my car, as I always say, but Mike R., says, when Middle East allies stop sharing ISIS operational intelligence with the United States, the likelihood that U.S. lives will be lost increases. How much? Insider info is invaluable, especially regarding new destructive techniques.
That's such a fine line. That's such a fine line. I get what he's saying. But at the same time, if you keep everything close to the vest and you don't let other people who want to destroy ISIS in on it, you end up hurting your cause in the long run, don't you?
Okay. Well, yeah, I believe so. Tim of Boise says, so we have a president that can't be trusted with classified information and can't tell the truth. This doesn't seem to bother you guys much. Now, you're reading it wrong. I'm quite often trying to give him the benefit of the doubt as if he did something, that isn't stupid. And there are plenty of the news channels that aren't doing that. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, is there a method behind this? Is he doing some genius move that I never would have thought of? And so far, I can't figure out the motivation for this one necessarily. But, it's like I said, I wasn't in the room. I don't know. But yes, if we have a president, if we genuinely, Tim, have a president that we cannot trust with classified information and that can't tell the truth, then yes, that does bother me quite a bit. But like I say, depending upon whom you listen to, and I don't want to be, I do listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I don't want to be what he calls the drive-by media.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, we have to be, because KBOI does not have a Washington, D.C. bureau. So when we get information out of Washington, D.C., it's not some guy who we pay who tells us exactly what's going on. We have to rely sometimes on some of the national reporting and the world reporting, and we try to get as many sources as possible. But as I say, you hear, it just depends upon whom you trust there, because you hear all sorts of different kinds of information. So if that is in fact true, Tim, yes, it bothers me a great deal. If it's not, it still bothers me that everybody thinks that.
And I actually said yesterday, I think I was talking to Steve, and I said, doesn't it bother you that he doesn't take a step back to take a deep breath before he says something? So we have been critical of him, maybe not as critical as Tim wants us to be.
Well, we're
not just jackbooting down the street.
Well, true. We don't necessarily just want to be on one side of the thing saying, obviously he's this and obviously she's that and obviously they're this. Because, first of all, there isn't anybody who's just one thing.
Exactly.
You can tell me one word to describe yourself. Well, I'm
Rutabaga.
Sure, I'm sure people can do it. But, like, for instance, I was asked that once at a job interview. They said, give us one word to describe yourself. And I said, human. I didn't get the job, so probably that wasn't.
I would have said employed.
Well, that would have been good. No, I probably should have said, you know, anxious or, you know, something that indicated that I was really looking forward to working. But I didn't. I said human just because I thought that was the most accurate.
It's the closest, anyway.
And clearly they didn't think so.
Yeah. Mark and Eagle, you're on 670 KVOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. First off, people, when you get in front of your computer sometime, just Google or Yahoo, violations of the Constitution by Obama. It's endless what's on there that you'll find out about your beloved socialist previous president. Go ahead.
I would, but we have moved on.
I don't care what Obama did anymore.
And so I'm more anxious about what happens tomorrow than I am about what happened, you know, last year. But right. I do understand your point.
It's the finger pointing by people like Rich. And Rich, I swear, he is one of the biggest hypocrites. Where was Rich? And I've listened to you guys for, you know, Chris and mm-hmm. Paul on there forever since you've been on there.
Yeah. Where was 16 Rich? Years, by the way, we have.
Thank you. Yeah. Where was Rich when the Muslim Brotherhood was in and out of the White House and they had people working in the Department of Homeland Security? That's a known fact. Savage had brought that up numerous times during when Obama was in office. Where was Rich when, in his comments, when Obama allowed all those so-called Central American youths to be brought into this country with an infected virus that was well known to be common in Central America to infect our people across this country where they were planted, the schools, everything? Where was Rich when call sign Extortion 17, August 6, 2011, when about 28 of our special ops, mainly Navy SEALs, were shot down by information that leaked out under Obama's helm to Taliban that happened to shoot down with a surface-to-air grenade launcher and took out the Chinook helicopter, killed those SEALs?
Hey, Mark, three examples is good. I'm just gonna speculate here. If the information, if the first time Rich heard it came from Michael Savage, it's entirely possible he didn't believe it was true.
Wait, I don't think he'd ever listen to him.
No, you never know.
Can burn your ear sometimes.
He's listening to this station.
And I got to say, you guys, at least he does his homework. The guy does not usually, meaning Michael Savage on KBOI, does not go out and throw out there. In fact, he was the one before it started being announced on your news on the hour and a half hour. Mm-hmm. He even mentioned yesterday, if you listen to him, that he thought it was the North Koreans that did this hacking thing.
Mm-hmm. And this morning, other people are saying, well, that is who we're starting to suspect.
You have a good day, gentlemen.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call, brother. We appreciate it. All right, Scotty in Middleton and Ted in Boise, you guys hang on. 944, we will talk to you next. We can also take more calls, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Oh, Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
948, welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here. H.R. McMaster just started his press conference, so he was a little bit late. I got four calls. I'm going to try to whip through all these here before the top of the hour. So if everybody can just get to your point quickly, that'll be great. Scotty in Middleton, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good program, by the way.
Thank you.
One thing that we're missing here is a man called George Soros. Mr. Soros was chased out of Russia by Putin just a couple of years ago. All these organizations that he had over there, you know, the same as what he's gotten in the UK at the present moment, Black Lives Matter, all these kind of organizations were closed down by Soros. And I think the same thing should be done here in the United States, because this man is so in trouble. He backed Mr. Obama the first time that he ran for the presidency, and he also backed him the second time. He poured in millions of dollars into Hillary's campaign, and, well, we know the result there. But all this talk about the Russians, the Russians, the Russians, I think is just a load of poppycock. And as far as the organization that Mr. Trump gave away, it'd probably be the United Kingdom, because we've had troops over there since probably a couple of years ago that I know of. And we had troops in Benghazi who pulled out the day before the embassy was stormed over there. I have a picture, by the way, of the U.S. ambassador being dragged out of the embassy over there. And believe it or not, it was Libyans that were pulling him out to try and save him. So So anyway, gentlemen, you've short for time. I'll stop down, but have a good day.
All right, Scotty, enjoy. Thanks for checking in today.
Yeah, I remember back in 2003, George Soros at one point said that removing President George W. Bush was the central focus of his life.
Mm-hmm. And I love whenever the phrase poppycock gets put on the air. Ted in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI.
Yes, one caller came in and said that, he's talking about how Obama violated a lot of the constitutional things. And you said, it wasn't Chris, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name. But
David.
You came out and said, I don't want to hear about Obama. That's done. Well, you got to hear about it. We wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for some of the things that the history of the Obama administration.
Well, and you make a good point because
Benghazi and ISIS. I mean, I just don't understand this. I don't want to hear about Obama.
Well, because he's not president anymore. Well, I want to deal with the current issue at hand.
The current president has to deal with what the former president his policies.
Yeah, there's that.
I don't understand this.
There's that point.
Well, we're trying to explain it, Ted. Hang on a second.
Ted, there's that point. Plus, you also make a good point in that if you do not know history, you are doomed to repeat it.
Oh, for God's sake. So it's okay just to give Obama a pass, and we don't even know what the current president did or did not do. He's saying he didn't give out information.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Risch came out with a legal opinion, and you're going to still question the fact that, oh, my gosh, he violated the Constitution.
I never said he violated the Constitution, not once.
100 soldiers have been killed based off of this bill. You don't know a darn thing about it.
I never once said he violated the Constitution, Ted. I don't know what he's talking about.
And also,
I never once said he violated the Constitution.
We've mentioned what Jim Risch said at least two or three times this morning. And we also mentioned that McMaster's, who was in the room and is the national security advisor, said there was nothing wrong with what he did.
Yeah.
And so it's entirely possible that the Washington Post is wrong about this.
Yeah.
It's also possible that they're right. And it is kind of our job to question what the president is doing. But we also question what the people covering the president are doing. We question all of that stuff.
Exactly.
Simply because we don't always know who and who we should not trust. We have to figure it out over time. And it's like I said, I don't want to just come out and give one side of the story. And so I'm not just going to come out and say, well, everybody who disagrees with Trump is wrong, even though there are people who call up and say that exact phrase. But I don't want to say that everybody who disagreed with Obama was wrong either. And yes, it's a good idea to study what the previous president did and the president before that and the president before that. Because, as I said, if you do not understand and study history, you will repeat the same mistakes that have been made in the past.
Marty in Mountain Home, you've got 2 minutes. How are you today, sir?
Hey, good, buddy, good. I got a couple of points for you. Number one, what's the best way to win over an enemy in a conflict? What do you think?
Butter them up? I'm not sure. What?
Well, first of all, you're going to give something. You're going to give them a fish, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you're going to teach them how to fish, right? So the concept of winning over the Russians, and you asked for something that's brilliant that Trump was doing with this thing. And here's my take on that.
Okay.
Trump gave them information to protect their citizens, from the terrorists, right? And just as Russia has probably colluded with us to help us protect ourselves from terrorists as well, there's a common battle here that we have against ISIS that people are ignoring. They're just ignoring the whole thing.
See, that's what I was saying, Marty, just to interrupt real quick, is that I said the enemy of our enemy is our friend, right?
Right. Right. Well, no, that's a bad way of looking at it, because I think Trump is truly trying to win them over. He's trying to make them an ally of ours. He's not out there trying to just win over the enemy with force, like you're kind of suggesting, I think, with that, but the other thing is that Trump, everybody's bashing him over anything that he does with the Russians because mm-hmm. of the implications that were implied during the election, right, and the tampering.
Exactly.
So anything Trump does with our so-called enemy, they're going to automatically link it back to that. That's the little plant, the seed that's planted by the Democrats.
That's right. Marty, I'm sorry. We run out of time. I got 30 seconds is all.
Very quickly, Mari wrote in to say, a comparison to other wrongs is not justification for a wrong. Two wrongs don't make anything right, and so regardless of what or who did in the past, this violation of a trust that affects the now and endangers the other country's operations is wrong, period, wrong, wrong. I think we've heard from all sides.
I think so, too. Rush Limbaugh comes up after the news. This afternoon at 1, Michael Savage, 3 o'clock. Nate Shellman will have a lot to say about this as McMaster's is still having his press conference on 670 KBOI.